So good morning, beloved, again. What I'd like to do is invite you to join me in prayer, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to minister his truth, his love, his comfort, his hope into your heart, my heart, as we continue in worship together. So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the many blessings that you provide for us each day. And one of the special blessings that we have, certainly first and foremost, is our salvation through Christ, but the fellowship that we do enjoy one with another. And as Pastor Larry mentioned, there's nothing quite like being in God's holy amphitheater together, worshiping, lifting up our hearts and voices. We miss that triumphant and victorious sound of people worshiping you. And really, that is our calling. You have called us to be true worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Father, as we listen to your word, that this is a point where we can really hear you speak to us in ways that produces that sense of worship. So I pray that our hearts and minds would be open. And whatever struggle we've been through this week, whatever dilemma, whatever problem, whatever relational circumstance that we find ourselves in, that we would come with open hearts, and that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in a new way, in a fresh way, and that we'd come away from time in your word feeling like we've met with you. Lord, again, thank you for our service. Thank you for each one here. And I pray that they would find a refreshing for their souls as we come before you and listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I want to speak to you about using our words to speak good things. I once read an article about doctors who incorporated talk therapy to treat patients suffering with depression. And according to Psychology Today, it says that talk therapy or psychotherapy is really the gold standard in treating depression. Well, instead of medicating the problem, the doctors instructed the patients to start making positive declarations over their lives, saying such things as, I have a bright future. People like to be around me. I know people care about me. Good things are in store for me. I have a future to look forward to. Things like that. Recently, I heard that scientists have discovered our bodies experience a release of endorphins when we say, I feel great. I feel great. You might want to even say that this morning. I feel great. And you're saying, well, I don't feel that great. I haven't only had one cup of coffee. I need my second cup of coffee before I can say I feel great. But there's something about our words that has a power to change our focus, to change our response, to change how we view things. Now, in this particular case that I'm referring to, where the patients were depressed and they started practicing talk therapy, some of these patients were facing life-threatening diseases and felt there was no hope. And the doctor asked them, has anyone ever survived this disease? And the answers were always yes. So he told them, then I want you to start saying, I will make it. I'll be one of the people who beats the odds. So it's interesting that that study was conducted, and they found that those patients who obeyed the doctor's orders, and amazingly, many of them not only came out of their depression, but several of them made full recoveries. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but I think the whole thrust of the illustration is that when we speak out positive words, it affects our mood, it affects the disposition of others, and it can build life and energy into our relationships. You know, we've heard people who are so fixated on negativity, and that's all that comes out of their mouth. You know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? And if our heart is full of negativity, full of criticism, full of anxiety and fear, then that's what's going to come out in our speech. And sometimes we, as we get older, we can be really fixated on the various pains that we have. So anytime somebody asks us how we're feeling, we'll give them a litany of all the different aches and pains that are going on in our body. And then the person's sorry they asked. Well, I think the point is it's time to use our words to declare good things. Would you agree? It's time to use our words to declare good things. Speak blessing over your life and your family. Throughout the day, say such things as, I have the favor of God. I'm secure in his love. I can trust in his promises. Now, we just recently had our house painted, and there was three of the nicest young people with student paint works that came and painted our house. They worked so hard. They were so conscious of every detail, and we were just blessed by them. And so as they were wrapping up the job, we'd got them a milkshake, and we bought them a few other things over the course of the time, the week that they were here. And then we gave them a tip, a gift of money to say, thank you so much. And as Dixie and I presented the gift of money to them, I went to each one and I put my arms around these painters. And we built enough trust in the relationship that was okay. And I put my arms around, gave them a hug. I says, okay, if I give you a hug? They said, sure. And as I gave them a hug, I said, God bless you. I went to each one, God bless you, and God bless you. You know, and those young people, they went back and they told their employer, who I spoke to later, how blessed they were to be here and how favored they felt. And so the employer said they were really touched by the blessing and by the grace and by the love that they received when they came to work for us. So we need to use our words to declare good things. And imagine how you can bless other people with your words. You know, Proverbs, it's in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. It says, words satisfy the soul as food satisfies the stomach. The right words on a person's lips bring satisfaction. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that what you say about yourself, that internal conversation, that self-talk that we all experience, that has greater impact on you than anything anybody else says about you? And many people are overly critical of themselves, saying, I'm so clumsy. I can't do anything right. I'm so overweight. I'll never get back into shape. I never get any good breaks. Nothing ever works out for me. Well, they may not realize it, but what they're doing is they're placing a shadow over their future. Those words sink into their minds, and before long, they develop a defeated mentality, low self-esteem, and diminished confidence. Worse yet, those negative mindsets can interfere with God's plan for their lives. Do you see how that works? If your mind and your heart is so filled with negativity, what happens? You can't hear the still small voice of God saying, hey, I'm proud of you. I have great plans for you. I have a future for you. I have lives that I want to reach through you. And if we're so self-focused, so intimidated, so overwhelmed with our own insecurities, we can't hear the voice of God and be set free from the bondage of constantly worried what other people think about us and feeling so insecure in how we live our life day to day. You know, Proverbs says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. One of the best ways to break free from such inner strongholds is simply by speaking words of victory. Every day, look in the mirror and declare, God's word says, he has a good plan for my life. You know, my wife and I went through a very difficult period early on in our marriage and in our ministry. And we got a verse that became our theme verse, Isaiah 29:11. And it was God speaking to the nation Israel. And he was offering words of hope. Jeremiah. Oh, sorry, Jeremiah. Sorry, my wife just corrected me. It was Jeremiah verse 29:11. Yeah, that's why we have wives, to keep us on the right track, right? Jeremiah 29:11, where God's speaking to the nation Israel. He's offering words of hope, words of promise, words of comfort, words of reassurance. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Now, those were words that God spoke. God's word says he has a good plan for your life. God is fighting your battles for you. And I'm excited that God is causing all things to work together for my good and his glory, for your good and his glory. That's what the scripture declares. Well, maybe you're lonely because you don't have a lot of friends. Instead of complaining, start declaring, "I know he loves me, so I can risk loving others. God is bringing the right people into my life at the right time. I'm learning to be content in the assurance of God's provision for all of my needs." Now, I want you to speak blessings over your life. And as you do, you'll go out with more confidence. You'll be more congenial. And in turn, you'll become the kind of person others want to spend time with. Now, when discouragement comes, instead of sitting back and accepting it, say, "No, I am a victor. I'm not a victim. I may have been defeated before, but the past is the past. This is a new day. The scripture declares I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Isn't it amazing how many positive words are in the scripture? You know, and when you change your words, you alter your world and you shape your destiny. It's not enough just to think it. You need to hear it. Because what we constantly hear ourselves saying, we will eventually believe. It's like the person who tells a story over and over again, and the story just keeps getting better and better, only this is on the downside. And they keep adding more and more stuff to it. Eventually, the story doesn't resemble reality. But you know, the wonderful thing is, when you're speaking God's truth, the opposite happens. You become more and more of the profound nature of God's truth, and the more it affects your outlook, your world perspective, your sense of hope for each new day. Well, let's talk practically for a moment. Some people live not just with loneliness, but some people live in a perpetual state of financial crisis. They can't seem to pay their bills, always living under their circumstances and constantly speaking defeat. And we know people like that, don't we? Well, let me say to you this morning, if you're struggling financially, remind yourself repeatedly, "Everything I have comes from the Father. I'm a steward and not an owner. Every decision to spend is a spiritual decision, so I can trust him for wisdom on how I should spend his money. I know God will meet all of my needs according to his riches in glory." You see, when you adopt that attitude that God is God and you're going to allow him to be God in terms of your financial stewardship, you can have the assurance that as a steward, not an owner, God is directing your financial money matters and that he will provide for you as you look to him for wisdom on every decision to spend. Yes, it's true. That's what faith is all about. The world says you need to see it to believe it. I think that's Mississippi. I think it says right on their license plate, it's the show me state. And what they're saying by that is, I won't believe it until I see it. But God says you must believe and then you'll see it. It's interesting how God's word brings faith, right? The scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And what happens is, as you hear the word of God, it begins to build faith. And then suddenly the revelation of God becomes clear. You start to understand who God is. You start to understand his plan for your life. You get to know his love in a very personal way. See, so the world says that you need to see it to believe it. And when in fact, Am I still with you guys this morning, or I feel like
something's happened here.
Something's happened here, so
let me just see if I can redo this.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll just carry on. Okay.
Now we can. I can hear you, and it looks like everyone else is still online.
Okay, good.
Someone was trying to come in. Actually, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Let's.
There it is.
Well, let's just carry on here. So, here's the point: your speech, what you say, indicates your level of faith. So, you may hear people say, "Oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen about this particular situation. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough money to pay my bills at the end of the month." You know, you'll hear the words that indicate a person's level of faith. Your speech indicates your level of faith. And James says, don't let the double-minded man think that he's going to receive anything. So let me ask you this morning, do your words express a lack of faith in God's care for you? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I'd like you to do is to make a list of your goals, your dreams, the areas where you want to see change, and then confirm your desires by scripture. And then every day before you leave the house, declare your confidence that God is bringing growth, provision, and transformation in those specific areas of your life. We don't do that. We don't set goals or targets with God in terms of our personal growth. And yet I think that's important because we're bringing those things before God. And the reason that we want to grow and want to change is we want to be more like Jesus. And we want to be able to serve him more effectively. And at the end of the day, we want to know that our life is a sweet smelling aroma before God. You know, and something supernatural happens when you speak those words aloud. Now, maybe you struggle with condemnation because of past mistakes. Maybe you're the sort of person at night when you get into bed, you're thinking about different conversations you've had during the day. You're thinking about people that you've interacted with. You're concerned that maybe they took you the wrong way. Maybe they misunderstood you, and you're thinking, what are they thinking of me? And you're overwhelmed with unjustified condemnation and concern. And you're spending your day looking in the rearview mirror instead of looking, keeping your eyes fixed on Christ. Well, each day, boldly declare, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And the word also says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, it says God is pleased with me based on my position in Christ. And he's on my side. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you say something like that, on a consistent basis, guilt and condemnation won't hang around. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Those words will change your world and will shape your destiny. Find the scriptures that apply to your situation and pray them out loud. You know, it's been said that in the Psalms, there's a psalm for every sigh. And when you read through the Psalms, it's great to orchestrate your prayer life by going to the Psalms. Just read the psalmist because he's communing with the Father. And you'll see his journey, his struggles, his highs, his lows. And you can pray through the Psalms and you'll find that those scriptures apply directly to your life, to your circumstances. And it brings God's love, his truth, his power to bear upon those specific areas in your life. Now, this is especially important areas in which you continually struggle. Don't let another critical word come out of your mouth about yourself. Instead, take a few minutes every day to bless your life, to declare your victory in Christ. Understand, it's not enough to avoid saying anything negative. You must go on the offensive and start making scriptural declarations over your life. Remember, your own words will have more impact on your future than anything anybody else says about you. Isn't that true? We're our own worst enemy. We're the most critical of ourselves. Now, as some of you know, I've struggled with a long-standing back injury. A recent ultrasound indicates significant arthritic deterioration in the lumbar. It hampers my mobility. It keeps me awake at night, causes me to rise up early in the morning, and the pain can be constant and intense. And I've discovered the grace of God to thank him that this pain will not deter God's plan and purpose for my life. I thank him every day that the pain is not worse and that I'm still mobile. I thank him that in my weakness, I am compelled to depend upon him more fully. And while I've asked the Lord for his healing touch, I can thank him for his timing and however he chooses to answer my prayer, because I know his plans for me are for good and not for evil. His plan is for a future and a hope. So that addresses, in a nutshell, how we ought to speak to ourselves. But let's take a look at how we speak to others and about others. I came from a home where I watched my family. They would graciously receive people, and then after the people would leave, they'd have several critical comments to mention about those people. To me, that's just a sign of insecurity. To me, that's a sign of not being genuine. How we speak about others and how we speak to others is a critical marker in terms of who we are as a new creation in Christ. It's so easy to be critical about others, isn't it? Because we're so imperfect. And yes, we make so many mistakes. So if somebody has a heart to criticize, there's always room for criticism, isn't there? But does it help a person to criticize someone else? Does it build their integrity? Does it strengthen their love for that other person? Or does it silently, slowly begin to erode your respect for others, your trust in others? We all have different points of views, don't we? And it's so easy to be critical of others because they don't think the way we think, or they have different opinions than what we have. You know, the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's dead wrong. Words do hurt. As a child, I was a victim of verbal abuse. Every ill word said to me by a loved one was like a stone thrown at my heart. It took me years and years as an adult to heal wounds of ill-spoken words. Yet even though I personally know the damage words can do, I am far from perfect in my speech to others. I too have slung words that I wish I could retrieve. I'm sure that you can relate. Now, I reread portions of Proverbs just recently, and verse upon verse about the power of our words kept jumping off the page. Listen to some of these that I found. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. Evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. You know, so we shouldn't be critical of our friends, and especially critical of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if there's something that needs to be said, the scripture says, speak the truth in love. Not just speak the truth. Some people are good at speaking the truth. I've had that happen where somebody will come in and they'll speak their truth for an hour or 2 hours and leave you in a puddle, and then get up and walk out of the room. Evil words destroy one's friends. Wise discernment rescues the godly. What that's simply saying is that our words should be seasoned with godly wisdom, because what it does is it edifies our brothers and sisters in their relationship with God. And then over in Proverbs 15, verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So isn't it amazing that our words can give life to others? And conversely, a negative, critical spirit can break the heart of others. And then over in Proverbs 18, 4, a person's words can be life-giving water. Words of true wisdom are as refreshing as a bubbling brook. What a great word picture. What a wonderful illustration of how our words can be so refreshing, so revitalizing. Are your words like that? Do you look for opportunities to refresh the spirit, the soul of others? So often our words just pertain to what we think, what we're about. And we're not thinking actively about refreshing someone else's spirit. And Proverbs 15, verse 1 through 2, it's a great, great verse. It says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you feel attacked, you feel like somebody's coming at you, and you feel you have to defend yourself, so you dial up your voice to come on strong? I think we've all been there. And we become very defensive with the way we respond. Well, the scripture says a soft answer turns away wrath. And the tongue of the wise, it commends knowledge. So that's what we want to do as believers. We want to have words that lift up, words that edify, words that diffuse intensity. Now, I've mentioned to you before that as a child, I wanted to be a paleontologist, a collector of fossils and study archaeology. I was fascinated by that. Well, I love to collect stones, all kinds of stones, not just fossilized, but stones. And I still have a large collection of various semi-precious gemstones sitting somewhere in the boxes and boxes in our garage. Now, when I would visit the local rock hound shop looking for agates or amethyst crystals or translucent quartz, I would pick through the big bins of beautiful stones looking for something special to add to my collection. Now, did you know our words are like stones? We're like stone throwers with each word we speak. And if our words contain beauty, people treasure them. But if our words are mean and critical and unloving, people toss them aside, but not until after they've had to deal with the wounds that they've caused. Proverbs 11:17 says, your own soul is nourished when you are kind, but you destroy yourself when you are cruel. And you not only destroy yourself, you destroy others when you're cruel. You know, in this period of the pandemic, people's words have caused hard feelings for many. Even in the church, good folks have strong opinions on whether to vaccinate or not to vaccinate, whether to return to church or not to return to church, whether to maintain a bond of fellowship or to go our separate ways. And there's something worse than a pandemic right now, and it's division that occurs in the church, and it's happening all over. You know, the scripture says that we're to maintain the unity of the body in the bond of peace. And our words have everything to do with that. We can't pass judgment on people who are vaccinated or on people who aren't vaccinated. We can't show a spirit of unkindness. We can't misunderstand one another to the point that it causes a breakdown in the relationship. There's something far more important and valuable, and that's our relationship with one another and maintaining that fellowship. And how do we do that? It's through our words. We can have good conversations and we can talk through issues, but we come back to how do we administer our words? You know, the scripture tells us right in this portion that I'm going to read to you, it's Ephesians chapter 4 verses 29 and following. And the verse behind 4:29, it says, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Yes, there is something more dangerous than a pandemic, and it's a loss of loving, caring relationships in God's forever family. So what does Ephesians 4:29 say about our words? It says this: do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what's needed, so that you say what you say will do good to those who hear you. In other words, it says it will give grace. This is a different translation, updated translation, but it says that it will give grace to those who hear you. Okay, so helpful words, not harmful words. You're intentionally seeking to build up and provide what's needed. You know, we can do this in our relationship with our husbands and wives. Find opportunities where, with all sincerity, you can offer words of encouragement to your husband or to your wife. Let them know how precious they are and the things that they do well. Remind them daily about their strengths. And yes, there'll be weaknesses and there'll be times when you have to confront that in love, but give them the love sandwich. Use your words to give the first part that's affirming. Share your words and give them the truth in the middle that needs to be addressed. And then on the tail end, give them some more affirmation about what they do well and where they're succeeding and what you value about them. So the scripture again says, maintain the unity of body in the bond of peace. And we do that by prayerfully selecting the right words, the precious words, the gracious words, the words that speak compassion and understanding into that relationship. Just like the stones I chose at the Rock Hound shop, each one was hand-selected. In the same way, we get to choose our words. Which ones will you choose? I like what Psalm 141 verse 3 says. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, hey, we need to fill our heart with God's truth, with God's love, with God's grace. And you know what? If that's true, it's going to come out in our relationships. And we need to pray very practically, Lord, help me choose my words well. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Help me to speak things that are going to edify, that are going to build up, that are going to affirm, and that are going to point people toward you in a most meaningful and sincere way. Not preaching at people, but being sensitive to who they are with respect for their personhood and gently, lovingly speaking the words that are going to encourage and strengthen. Well, beloved, if you'll do your part and speak words of victory and words of grace, God will pour out his favor in exciting, fresh ways in your lives and the lives of your friends and even your enemies. In other words, if you'll change your words, you'll change your world and you'll shape your future. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you have given your word. Your word is truth. It was Jesus who said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Like the psalmist prayed, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Your word is alive and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces to the innermost part of a man or woman's being. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man and woman's heart. Lord, your word is enduring. Your word is lasting. Remind us, Father, again. There's only two things that last forever. That's people's souls and your word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Father, help us to understand we need your word in our hearts so that we can speak words that will edify, words that will build up, and words that will encourage and strengthen, and ultimately words that will direct people towards the loving Savior who gave his all that we might believe in him and know forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. Thank you for your words, Lord. Thank you for this precious congregation. Thank you for the love that we share. And Lord, we look forward to your timing when we can be back together so that we can worship arm in arm, hand in hand, with hearts and minds linked together in your presence. We bless you. We praise you. And I pray your blessing over each congregant and our ministry team, our leadership team. I pray blessing over them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you.